Welcome to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
Have you ever played that game before? For the most part, we've all played that game where somebody says, okay, you get to pick one to three things. You're stranded on a desert island. What three things do you get? And if you're a Christian, most people always say, well, my Bible, of course, because we say that, like, right? Isn't that what we do to make sure we sound super spiritual and like we have it all together? And so we say our Bible because you're supposed to say that. And then if you've ever seen The Office, Dwight Schrute has his whole thing that he would make sure he has on the island so he has all the stuff he needs. But I don't know how many of you have ever seen the movie Castaway. You see, in one thing I've noticed as I was thinking about that game, nobody ever says a person. I don't ever remember that being a rule of something you can't have. I wouldn't want to be alone. I don't like being alone. Occasionally, I like some just Jeremiah time, but usually, I'm not made that way. And if you've ever seen that movie Castaway, what got Tom Hanks through every day on the island? Wilson. You see, Wilson is what got him through. Wilson is what got him through each and every day. Was Wilson real? No, Wilson wasn't real. But what we see in that movie is that we all were created for relationships. We all were created with a need of companionship, a need of somebody else in our life. We were not created to live isolated and alone lives. We weren't made that way. We're not made that way. And we see that even in a volleyball that had a blood-stained face, because that's really what that was, if you've never seen the movie, he hurt himself, he put his hand on Wilson, and then he had a blood face, and he made it like this, and this was his friend, and he talked to him, he cried with him, yelled at him, he got mad and threw him. Don't you wish you could throw your friend sometimes? And then when his friend got lost in the ocean, he cried. And you see the importance of a relationship that we were made to have with people. And that was an inanimate object. And I know so many people that watched the movie. I didn't cry when Wilson floated away in the ocean. I mean, that just was like, what's the volleyball? But I know some people that for them, that was a moment. Because they could relate. They could relate of losing a friend, losing somebody that was close, losing somebody that got them through so many hard times in life. Because you see, in each and every one of us, we were created for relationship. We were created for companionship. We were not created to be isolated. But many of us, we choose to isolate ourselves. Last service, it just stayed perfectly still, didn't it? Those of you who were here last service, it didn't move. Wilson didn't have a mind of his own. Wilson, you're done. I'm done with you. Can't. I have friends here. He just doesn't want to sit still. What in the world? We see many of us, we choose to isolate ourselves because can't it be so much easier sometimes to just live alone? To not have to deal with somebody else's mess, not to deal with somebody else's problems, to not have to deal with trying to build, because building relationships, it takes a lot of work. It takes work. Now, for guys, I mean, from what I hear, we talk about guy stuff. But girls, from what I hear, I'm not a girl, but it's harder. Girls can just be not as nice to each other and whatnot. I'm not a girl, so I don't know. I've just heard. So we can choose to avoid those things, to not have real conversations. We can come up with so many excuses on why we don't get ourselves into, whether it's a community group. Like at City View, we have these things called city groups where it provides atmospheres and places where people can get to know each other, where we can have relationships and friendships with one another so we're not isolated and alone. But we can come up with so many excuses on why we don't have relationships outside of just the one people or the few people. We can say, well, I'm too busy. We're all busy. I don't need it. We have each other. If you're married, you're like, we just have each other. That's all we need. I have people. But you see, when we choose to live all in, I don't know how many of you guys got the chip. If you did not get one of these chips yet, please raise your hand. We're going to make sure everybody gets one of these chips because you need one. Everybody needs one of these chips. So if you didn't get it, raise your hand. We'll have people coming around getting you these chips. And these chips say all in. And the idea is that we need to live all in with our lives. If I could get a few more people maybe to help pass those out, because we got a lot of people up here in front too. We need to live all in our lives, but the thing is, you can't live all in alone. You can't live all in by yourself. We must live all in together. It takes a team, it takes a family, it takes a tribe to live all in. The mission at City View Church, our mission, our purpose, what we do is we want to help people belong. Belong in community. Crazy thing, crazy story. I shared this last service. I'm going to share it again. A few weeks ago, no, probably about 4 or 5 months ago, we had a lady. We meet in a movie theater, and I don't know how many of you know this, but we have people that come almost every week that are on the way to a movie, but they come to church instead. That just happens every week. You don't get that anywhere else except a movie theater. It's just so cool. That's why we stay. Some people are like, are you ever, like I have pastors all the time that say, so are you looking forward to getting your own building? I said, no. The only person that really presses me about getting a building, her name is Janine, and she's like, do you know how hard it is to do City Kids in a movie theater? I'm like, but you do an amazing job. Give it up for Janine right now, you guys. Give it up. So about 4 months ago, we had a lady, a grandma. She brought her granddaughter to see a movie. They look at their movie ticket, and it wasn't a 10 a.m. movie. It was actually a 10 p.m. movie, so they came to the wrong showtime. And so, but because she came and she had her granddaughter with her granddaughter noticed one of the, a girl from City View noticed the granddaughter. And Trish, are you in here? Is Trish in here? I know she was teaching a class last service. Trish's daughter, who goes to City View, noticed the girl. She says, hey, Mom, that girl goes to my school. And she said, well, why don't you go and say hi to her? So that Trish's daughter went and said hi to this little girl, and she said, hey, how are you? And oh, all good. And they start having this conversation. Why are you here? Well, we're going to see a movie, but it's the wrong time. And guess what they did next? Well, why don't you come to church with us? So they came to church. And while they're at church, after church, the grandma went and she called her son. And she said, hey, I accidentally went to church today. Those are her words. I accidentally went to church today. You've got to come and check it out. And so Jeremy and his wife, Jennifer, and their daughter came to church that following weekend. They came to church. And over the next few months, God started doing a work on Jeremy's heart. God started doing things on Jeremy's heart. Because one of the things with City View Church is we want to help people belong no matter who they are, no matter what mess they are, no matter what's going on in their life. We want to help people belong. And that starts with a welcoming relationship, a welcoming community. And so Jeremy was so welcomed and so loved and enjoyed being here that he stuck around. And about 4 months later after coming, all of a sudden God struck his heart one day. I was teaching on marriage, speaking on marriage, and Jeremy left going, I want to be the man that Jeremiah is talking about. Gave his life to the Lord that Sunday. All because his mom accidentally went to church one day. All because one lady's daughter invited the granddaughter to church with her. And because of those situations, because we are a community of people that want to help people belong, that man's life was changed forever. And not only will his life be changed, but you see, when a man's life is changed, the family is impacted. So his family will change, his wife will change, his kids will change. God will impact all those around him. Because of one accidental going to church Sunday. We want to help people belong. We want to help people believe. And that's what happened with Jeremy. And the thing that we want to see so much even more is we want to help people become. You see, not only did Jeremy come to church because his mom said, hey, I think you might like this place. They meet in a movie theater. And then not only did he take the next step and say, you know what, I believe in Jesus. But a few weeks after that, he goes, Jeremiah, I want to be baptized. And he was baptized at our last baptism a few weeks ago because you are a community that helps people belong in community, believe in Jesus, and become who God has called them to be. But we cannot do that alone. We do that together. Not just on Sunday mornings. But we do that throughout the week, and we call those city groups. That is our heart. It's to provide places where we can reach and love each other and be there for each other. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for this day. And God, I ask that you'd speak to each and every one of us this morning. Lord, I don't know what brought us here. I don't know if we were invited, if we Googled, if we were tagged on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. Lord, or if we came accidentally, but there's no accidents with you. So, Lord, I ask that you'd speak to us here. Lord, for those that are going to church throughout the valley today, God, I ask that you'd speak to them as well. Whether they're at Calvary Community, Desert Breeze, Desert Bible Church, Valley Life, Lord. God, I ask, God, that you, Lord, I just ask that you'd speak to your people, that you'd change lives, and may we all be all in and not sitting on the sidelines. May we be all in with our lives. Bless us this morning at City View in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when I talk about joining community, when I talk about getting into groups, smaller groups of settings, stuff, for some of us that stresses us out. Because for some people, some of us in here, we are introverts. And I get it. There's some people are introverts or some people are extroverts. My wife and I, we take those personality tests. I am an ENFJ. That's my personality. I am the outgoing, life of the party. I am the social butterfly. That's what I do. I love to be around people. I hate to be alone. I just am like, that's what I love. I love to go. It energizes me. Energizes me. My wife is the complete opposite. She is an INFJ. She would rather never go to the party, or if she's going to be at the party, she would rather be in the back room serving you food so that she doesn't really have to talk unless it's like a one-on-one conversation where it's just the two of you. To be at a party, it drains her. We're a complete opposite. So I get that we're different. But here's where we're the same. We need relationship. See, for me, being in a room and being in a big room of people, I enjoy that. I get stuff out of that. My wife, that's not really her thing. It's harder. It takes more work. She's way more tired at the end of a Sunday. Me, it's like, yeah, unless I fail. Like, there's some Sundays where I preach and I'm like, that was the worst I've ever done in my life. If you've never been up in front of people, there's just days where you're just like, can I go hide somewhere? I'm really tired of those days. But you see, too many of us, we make excuses on why we choose to live isolated and alone. And that's all they are excuses. Not good ones. They're bad. We choose why we're not going to get to know people, why we choose to sit alone, why we choose to not get involved, why we choose to just be by ourselves, why we choose to not have relationships. The thing is, we were all created for relationships, and we all need relationships. God made us that way. A pastor friend of mine, he wrote in a book how he went to, he was on a mission trip in Romania. And one of the ladies that he was meeting with, she took him to this orphanage, this hospital actually, where she cares for abandoned children. And in that hospital, there were 10 kids in the NICU. 5 of them had parents that worked during the day, but they came and visited their kids after work. And the other 5 were abandoned. Their parents didn't want them. They had no social interaction at all unless a nurse made time to say hello. And so she told this pastor, she said, okay, when you go into this room, there's 10 babies. 5 are abandoned and 5 have families. I want you afterwards to see if you can tell me which 5 are different. So he went into the room, he held each kid, prayed for the kids, and interacted with the kids. And as when he came out, she goes, do you know what 5? He was able to name each 5 to a T. He said, these 5 were abandoned, and these 5 were not. And you want to know what stood out? The 5 that were not abandoned, the 5 that had families, those 5 kids, when he picked them up, they lit up. They interacted with him. The little bit that they could, their lights lit up. They cooed. They enjoyed being held. You could tell life went back into their bodies, that they were having, as much as a kid and a NICU can, that they loved interaction. Now the 5 kids that were abandoned, when they were picked up, there was no emotion. They were lethargic and empty. Because we were not made to live isolated lives. We were made to be in community. We were made for relationship. We were created that way. God made us that way. We were not made to live alone. So how can we be all in life and try to do it alone? It's not possible. We must do it together. If you would turn with me to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, picking up in verse 1. If you don't have a Bible, you can go to the YouVersion Bible app. You can follow us along there. If you don't have a Bible, you don't have a smartphone, or you just don't want to even figure that out, we're going to have verses right here and make it super easy for anybody. That's when Jesus taught, they only had scrolls and only one guy got to read. So it's even more convenient today.
So it says, verse 1. And when he, Jesus, returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. That's just a small little fun fact. So it says Jesus went home. But how many times have we heard Jesus doesn't have a home? You heard that? He tells his disciples, I have no home. So they follow him anyways. Now, what's interesting, to find sort of out how where Jesus' home was, you got to read chapter 1. And when you look through chapter 1 of Mark, you find out that the only home Jesus really went to was Peter's home. And that was the home he called home. So more than likely, that's what people believe, is that that was the home he's talking about. It says, and many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door, and he was preaching the word to them. It's so easy for a church to become a country club. It's something every single church has to fight. So one of the reasons why we choose, and believe me, my heart is to stay here at this movie theater forever. That's my heart. Why? Because people will always be coming. We will always have to have our mindset on people who are walking in who never thought to go to church on Sunday morning. That's why. Because that happens every single week. We always get to interact with people. Sometimes we have to think about people who don't know Jesus. It's in our mind. It's in our DNA. It's in our heart. We get to interact. But you see, here in this room were people who had turned their backs on lost. They had turned their backs on outsiders. They had become so focused on only wanting Jesus for themselves that they didn't care about the people who didn't know Jesus yet. You may say, Jeremiah, you're reading into this. Wait a minute. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about and the kind of crowd when we get a little further on in this. But I look at this crowd. What happens is a hurting person comes, and all he gets are the backs of people. And how many times have somebody come to church and they're hurting? And how many times has somebody walked into church and nobody said hi? I was at a pastor's conference this week, and this pastor that spoke, his name is Ron Edmondson, and he now helps and goes into churches and helps churches get better at the things they're not doing great at. And that's sort of a really cool guy. I really enjoyed what he shared on. But he said he went into this church, and the pastor didn't know he was coming that day. And he went in, and he goes, this is a pretty big church. He goes, there's a few thousand people. He goes, I went in through the doors. Nobody said hi to me. I sat down, nobody said hi to me. I left, nobody said hi to me. So I went and I met that pastor. He goes, hey, I really want you to come and check out my church and tell me how we're doing. He goes, actually, I already did. He goes, how did we do? He goes, you failed. Not once did anybody engage with me, the new guy. You see, we can so easily become this same group of people that are so focused on Jesus that we forget that there's people who need him. One of the reasons why we do Sunday mornings, we do. One of the reasons why you're not going to hear me go at one, we only have an hour, so I can only do so much in an hour. One of the reasons why I use an NLT is because it's so much easier for somebody who has no idea who Jesus is. That's why. You can read whatever translation, but the reason why I most of the time speak from the NLT is because it's so simple. Because my heart is, if there's anybody in here who you are like, I don't know Jesus, I don't know if I know this whole church stuff, we want to make sure that you feel welcomed and loved, because that's what Jesus did. He loved all people. No matter how messy, no matter how dirty, no matter what it was like, Jesus loved people. But it's so easy to focus on what's in front of us and forget that there's something behind us. Our heart as a church is that we want to help people belong. We can't do this unless we're welcoming. And this crowd had gotten so focused on Jesus that they forgot who really needs Jesus. Not that we don't need him, but we have got to create a path that Jesus might be in the front of others too. You see, if we are open-handed, and if we are welcoming, and if we have a heart to help people belong, then you know what naturally happens? People become part of community. People want to know more. People want to be involved. People want to get to know. When you see that this is a place that you're welcomed and loved, then community naturally happens. Sometimes we've actually got to step into that. You see, and we saw that happen with Jeremy, and he was here last service when I shared this, that we helped him belong.
And then it took a few months later, and then all of a sudden he believed. Same thing with Tiffany, if you didn't hear Tiffany's story yet either. And then all of a sudden, not only did they belong, not only did they believe, but all of a sudden they are becoming who God wants them to be. And that's what God does in a life, and that's the heart of City View Church. So here's what's going on. So you've got this crowd of people. Just picture, you know, you guys all looking this way. There's a back door to Peter's house. Jesus is up in front. I'm not saying I'm Jesus. Please don't take that. But Jesus is up in front. And this says, verse 3, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head, and then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Here we see true community. Here we see these men that love their friend. How they met this guy, I don't know. I'm really thinking it wasn't they go and went and picked up some random cripple guy. I really don't think that's what happened. I don't think they were walking by like, hey, there's a cripple. Let's pick him up and let's take him to Jesus. I really don't think that's how this conversation happened. You got to think, would that happen? Would you ever do that? No. Because that would be really weird and awkward for that guy. Here's what I think that happened. I think they had a relationship with him. I think at some point, one of the four guys that could walk said hi. And I think that at some point, one of the four guys started a relationship with the guy laying on the mat. And then that relationship built. And then he brought his three friends. And all of a sudden, those five guys became friends. Those five guys became a city group. Those five guys hung out. And at some point in those four guys' lives, their lives were changed and they were affected by Jesus Christ. And they realize Jesus might be able to change their friend's life too. I'm going to bet that that's what happens. So what happens? One day, those four guys, one of them says, hey, Ralph, that's what I called them last service. I'm going to call them that this service too. Ralph, we're going to take you to meet Jesus. You got to meet him. He could have said no. How many of us have we allowed things to paralyze us? How many of us have allowed the past, have allowed fear, have allowed past hurts to paralyze us? And we're just like that guy on the mat. And we just want to live alone. We don't want to be bothered. People have tried to heal us before. You know, they're like, hey, Ralph, we know this guy. And he's like, yeah, I've already tried that oil. Yeah, I've already tried that drink. Yeah, I've already gone to that doctor. Yeah, I've already gone to this. You know, you always have those friends that have all these cures for every kind of ailment possible. You have those friends, right? And so for some it works, and for some it doesn't. And so I wonder if this guy's like, no, that's not going to work. You got to realize. I wonder if he thought it's not going to work. That's just craziness. He's like, no. He's not like a doctor. We don't know how he does it. But he changes your life on the inside out. He does crazy things. That's what he's done in our hearts. And so this man had to humble himself. He had to say, okay, guys, you can carry me. Can you imagine that? Four guys carrying their buddy. That's true community. That's true relationship. These friends did not let his inability to prevent them from taking him to the one who had the ability to heal. When we are in community, like our city groups, this allows others to come around us when we truly need help. But so many times we isolate ourselves and nobody really needs it. We just sort of depend on ourselves. Like, let me, we're just going to tough this out. But how many of us, we feel like failures as moms? And so you don't call out, you're just going to suck it up. You're like, I'm just going to plow through this. But imagine if you were in community. And imagine if one day, as you're sitting in that room, you say, you know what, I feel like I'm a failure today as a mom. And all of a sudden other moms say, yeah, me too. Me too. Yeah, I've done that. Yeah, I've been there. My kids are growing, but I remember days where I wanted to lock them in the room, then lock the front door, and then my husband and I just leave and go out for about 5, 10, 3, 35 days, something like that. But you can't do that. That's not legal. And they're only one, and so I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that. How many times have we had that? How many times have we as husbands felt like failures at work? We're like, I can't. I don't know what I'm doing. I feel like nobody appreciates the work I'm doing, and I try so hard, but we keep it all inside because we're told, our society almost says, keep everything inside and only put the stuff on social media on the outside that looks good, and so that's what we do. But imagine if you were in a community, if you were in a community of people where you actually could be open, where you actually could be real, like this man, where he could actually say, you know what, I can't walk. And I do need help going to Jesus because I can't get there on my own. I can't even crawl. If I could crawl, I'd do it, but I can't. Will you carry me? You see, what happens in a city group, when you are part of a group of people that are circling around you, then they're okay with carrying their friends. When that's all that can be done is be carried. And so this man was carried. You see, Jesus has created each one of us to not live in isolation, but to live in a relationship. Psalm 133 verse 1 says this, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. That's God's heart, that we as a people, we live together in unity. And not just us as City View Church, but as churches. That's why you will hear me say constantly as I pray for other churches throughout the valley. My heart, I reach out to so many pastors because it's not about me. It's about God's kingdom. And how can we work together as men that are preaching God's word every week? How can we work together to reach people? Because we live in a state. We, as the state of Arizona, 90% of people do not know Jesus. 97% of people don't know Jesus. When I was driving on the freeway the other day, I was reminded of that. And I watched 10 cars drive by and I'm like, one of them knows Jesus. That should make us want to pick up every single person we know. If we know somebody in our community, in our work, at school, saying, who do I know that doesn't know Jesus and who do I need to bring to his feet? See, not only is that God's heart for us, but that's God's heart for us personally with him. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, For God was with Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God's making his appeal through us. And we speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. You see, God's heart is to reconcile, to build that relationship back. The relationship that was broken. The relationship, so many of us look at ourselves like, I'm too bad, I'm too far, I've made too many mistakes. And God says, my son came to get rid of those and to build a bridge back to me. Being community is part of God's heart. And these friends are not going to let one thing get in the way. You know how I know those people's backs were turned to them and they didn't care about the cripple guy? You know how I know that? How many of you, if there's five of you, five dudes or five women, how many of you in that five, you've got the one obnoxious friend? You all have that one, right? You all have that friend that if you're trying to get your friend who's crippled into a room, you all have that friend that says, get out of the way. Do you not see that we've got a guy who can't walk and he needs Jesus more than all of y'all? You know you all have that friend. You know you have that person that is going to get just say things that you are so embarrassed that they say it. You know you have that friend. So you know one of those four guys carrying that thing is one of those friends. You know he's sitting there and he's yelling. He's probably saying things that makes the guy on the bed uncomfortable. He's like, dude, I'm not that bad. Yeah, I know I can't walk and I can't move, but I'm not that bad. You make me sound like I'm a cripple. He's like, dude, you are. You're paralyzed. You can't walk. Yeah, but come on, you don't need to say those things. I'm just trying to get you to the feet of Jesus. And another friend says, hey, let's go to the roof. What are we going to do up in the roof? We're going to dig a hole because nothing gets in the way of somebody wanting to make sure that their friend meets Jesus. That's community. That's the heart of God, and that's the heart we should have. Nothing got in the way of these four friends making sure their friend met Jesus that day. So what do? They climbed up the roof of some random guy's house. We don't know. We believe it's Peter's house. They climbed up to the roof, and they started digging a hole. You see, when you start doing things for God, other people's lives start getting affected by that. You want to know how that was all seen? What happens is the hole starts digging. As they start digging, you want to know how much dirt starts falling on the crowd? Everybody starts looking because when you start living a life for Jesus, people are going to notice. Your mess will get on people too. All of a sudden, they start lowering this guy. Can you just imagine the sight? You got the crowd of people going, what in the world is happening? All of a sudden, you got this guy like floating. Oh, it's like Chris Angel there all of a sudden. And then so he starts floating down. All of a sudden, they start seeing through the sunlight that it's ropes. He's not like actually floating. And he gets there on the ground in front of Jesus. It says in verse 5, seeing their not his faith, but the four friends, seeing their faith. That's what Jesus saw. And I wonder if Jesus, he sees the guy, but I wonder if he just looks up at those four friends. He's just like, you guys are amazing. You're amazing. That you would be willing to get dirty. That you would be willing to break somebody's house. And if this is Peter's house, Peter's looking up going, I don't have insurance that covers holes dug in my roof. But you know, some people actually think, when you look at it, it says, and they, in that passage it says, and they picked up the paralyzed guy. Some people believe that the they that is being referred to is actually disciples. Verse 4 says, and they couldn't bring him. The only they that was referred to earlier is in chapter 1, talking about the disciples who had been with Jesus. So some people believe that these four men are actually four disciples of Jesus. One of them might have been Peter himself. We don't know. But four friends lower their friend, and Jesus says, he sees their faith. He's in awe of their faith, and he looks down at the paralyzed man. He says, my child, your sins are forgiven. Verse 6, but some of the teachers of religious law, the real religious people, we all have those real religious people that think church is all about them, that think Jesus is only for them. Churches are full of these people. We don't want to be those people. I want to be the messiest church possible. That's my heart. Because it's messy people who need Jesus. Jesus said that himself. It's the hurt. It's the broken. It's the mangled. It's the ones that don't have their lives together. As Jared says, every time he gets up, we're a perfect place for imperfect people. Jesus looks down at this guy. He says, my child, your sins are forgiven. And the crowd says, they go, man, who are you that you can, you're a blasphemer. He goes, only God can forgive sins. And Jesus, knowing your heart, and for those of you who are struggling with things, you don't want to be real with Jesus. Jesus already knows your heart. So don't try to hide that. Just stop working so hard at that. So Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking. So he asked them, why do you question this in your heart? And I love how Jesus isn't some white guy with a blonde beard and blonde hair. And every time he speaks, you know, you hear hallelujah music, like, oh, he walks into a room, halo. That's not Jesus. Jesus is probably a dark-skinned fellow with a dark beard and who knows what kind of hair he looked like, but his dark hair wasn't blonde because he's Middle Eastern. You got to understand that. It was Jesus. He wasn't a white American, didn't speak English either. And he wasn't always cute and cuddly. What does he say? He says, is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up, pick up your bed, and walk? He goes, what's easier? Come on. He goes, what can you do? He looks at the crowd and says, what can you do with your words? Should I say your sins are forgiven, or should I say pick up your bed and walk? What can you do? Because you can't do either. And whatever I do right now is going to prove to you who I am. So he looks down at the guy. He says, hey, dude, pick up your bed. He goes, verse 10, so I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your bed, and go home. And the man, he didn't just stand. He didn't just gingerly stand, because how many of us would just be like, okay, can this even work right now? What does he do? It says he jumped. This man was excited. You see, when a life is changed by Jesus, excitement cannot be held back. A person, this guy, he is so excited. He's so overwhelmed. It says, and this man jumped up, grabbed his mat, walked out the door, and the onlookers were stunned. They were amazed, and they praised God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this. You see, when we live in community, and when we live the life, and when we start bringing people to Jesus, we start inviting our friends and our family and those who don't know Jesus, when we do not allow that to be a hindrance, but we say, you've got to meet this Jesus. Lives get changed. This room was full of amazement, not because of the crowd that was there, but because of the life they saw and the faith that they saw in those four men. So I ask you, are you all in with your faith? You know, we can be all in with a TV show. We can go, man, we can go Netflix crazy. New show comes out, like when Stranger Things comes out, I know there's going to be a crew of you that are going to stay up like all day and all night just to watch the next 9 episodes. I know. I'll try not to do that, but I know. It scares me sometimes. When I know that there are people, as soon as Apple said, hey, we got a new phone, people waited in line. They camped out. They're crazy. They're all in for Apple, though. Your political party, man, you will post galore what your political party says. You are all in for that. But what about Jesus? Are you all in for him? Are you willing to wait in line? Are you willing to post the daylights out of what he's done in your life? Are you willing to stay up till 1 in the morning praying that your friend's life might be changed? Are you all in? All in cannot be done alone. It has to be done with each other. So I encourage you, if you want to be all in, join a city group. Be part of the community. Don't try to struggle alone. We do it together.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to cityviewphx.com.